and welcome to another Cosmic Circus review. My name's Vin, and with me as always is John Dotson.
Hello.
Today we are doing Beetlejuice and Beetlejuice. Can't say it three times. I'm so excited to talk about these movies. Beetlejuice is, you know, one of the all-time classics from the 80s. It's not Tim Burton's first movie. His first movie was Pee-wee's Big Adventure or something. But I think it's really the movie that like established who Tim Burton is. It's the movie that led to Batman, 1989, a large reason why we're all here in this superhero space. And it really launched Tim Burton's career, even more than Michael Keaton's. It launched Tim Burton's career, leading to Edward Scissorhands, so many of the classics that we know and love today. The first Beetlejuice movie, 1988, was directed by Tim Burton, with a screenplay by Michael McDowell, Warren Scarron, story by Michael McDowell, Larry Wilson. Starred Alec Baldwin and Gina Davis. Fun fact, Gina Davis right now is in Blink Twice, but she's not in Beetlejuice 2. Also starred Catherine O'Hara, Winona Ryder, and, of course, Michael Keaton. This new movie, Beetlejuice, 2024, directed by Tim Burton, story by Alfred Gow, Miles Miller. John, do you know who those two are? Do you know what they're famous for?
No idea.
Smallville. We'll talk about that later. The Smallville writers. Also written by Seth Graham Smith, starring Michael Keaton, Winona Ryder, Catherine O'Hara, returning from the original, plus Justin Theroux, Monica Bellucci, Jenna Ortega, Willem Dafoe. All right. John, tell me, what is your history with Beetlejuice 1988?
I think Beetlejuice, my history is the same as everybody's. I grew up on it, kind of like Ghostbusters. Like when I think of like child horror in a way, that things that like that can make you laugh and make you a little bit afraid. Think of Beetlejuice. I still got the images, like Alec Baldwin and Gina Davis, whenever they go into that like mode where they like stretch their faces out.
Oh yeah.
There's a little bit of trauma in my childhood from seeing that. A little bit.
But in a good way, right? In a good way?
In a good way. Like, you know, okay. Like, I appreciate it now. But, like, back then, It was a little scary. Well, a little scary for a kid. Mm. For a little
John. How old were you the first time?
I don't know. Maybe 4 or 5. Maybe 6.
Dang. Wow.
The thing is, it's, you have to, I don't know if you remember, but there was a time when you did not have streaming services.
I remember. Okay. Like
that, and people would just leave the TV on, and it would be on HBO or something like that. And you just walk into a room, and all of a sudden, Alec Baldwin has a weird face. You know, like, it's not like somebody just set you down.
This feels like something that would be more on, like, TNT than HBO. But, yeah, anyway.
Well, you know what I'm saying.
Or even like WB, because back then we actually had a station called WB.
Right? WB, but like, me, I think it was HBO. I think it was on HBO.
Wow, okay.
But you just like be walking by, all of a sudden, weird things are on the TV. It just happened, you know, when you were young.
And so now, how many times have you seen it? You saw it when you were like 4, and then?
I haven't seen it a ton. I mean, like,
me neither.
I will admit that I don't have the same affection for Beetlejuice as a lot of other people.
Okay.
I love Michael Keaton, but I don't have that, like, this property has got, like, a hardcore fan base.
It's like a cult classic, yeah.
Yeah, it's a cult classic. I don't think that I'm in that party, but I appreciate it from afar.
I really love the first Beetlejuice movie. I don't know if I ever saw it as a kid. I'm pretty sure, like you, I probably saw parts. But I think when I was a kid, I thought it's like some weird gross thing. I didn't get it. I came back to it when I was like 20 something, and I saw the DVD on sale or something, and I watched the whole thing. I was like shocked, impressed. I loved it that first time. But then, you know, I'm always scared when you love a movie so much that when you rewatch it later, I'm always scared that it won't live up again. Like, I'm terrified of that, rewatching some of my favorite movies sometimes, because I'm scared that it won't live up. So I don't think I've seen this movie a whole lot, maybe 2-3 times. Yesterday I saw a double bill. My theater was showing both movies, so I saw it on the big screen. John, it's almost a perfect movie, in my opinion. I love the set design, Danny Elfman's music, Burton at his peak, Michael Keaton. I think this is his most definitive movie, even more than Batman, because I think this captures like all his weirdness, all his horror, even like some weird moments where he tries to be sincere or something. Like, and there's no rules. And I love that first movie, even to this day. Yeah.
I would almost say that Beetlejuice is better than most Tim Burton films.
Absolutely, yeah.
Because to me, it's like Tim Burton before he became too much of a name. It seemed like the more he got famous, the more he kind of supported his art in different ways that, like, he would use different tropes as comfort for him as an artist instead of doing things that were gutsy and bold. It seemed like he got safe.
When do you think that happened? When did Tim Burton break?
I would say Tim Burton got safe around the late 2000s. A little bit before Alice in Wonderland.
I think around that time, really, because you have Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, and I think that was, I think that's when the balloon burst. Like, oh, Tim Burton, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, and you go to see it, and it's just miscalibrated. Like, you can see what he was trying to do, but it just doesn't hit. But if you go watch Edward Scissorhands, you go watch Beetlejuice, it will break your heart. Those movies are so good.
And there's so much emotion. Yeah.
Absolutely. The emotional heart. And I love, like, the first movie, when I watched it last night again, I was like, it's the most perfect ending for a movie like that. Do you remember how it ends? When did you last watch it?
Which one?
The first one. Beetlejuice.
I did not honestly have a chance to remember, but I did not have a chance to revisit it this week.
So, spoilers for the first Beetlejuice movie. I mean, if you haven't seen it, why are you here? But we appreciate you. For the first Beetlejuice movie, it's a couple who dies, ghost couple. And then there's a new family that moves into their house. And this new family, they don't like them. So the ghosts try to scare them. But these ghosts are very nice people. So they can't. So they need Beetlejuice's help, right? Blah, 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 hijinks and shoot. At the end of the movie, they're all friends. The ghosts and the family, they're all friends. But there's this daughter in the family. And the daughter doesn't really fit with her parents. But she gets along with the ghosts. And it's this really sweet story that about these ghosts finding the kid that they never got to have. And this daughter finding, like, validation, finding somewhere she fits, and because she's the only one who can see the ghosts. And it's just this really sweet story, and it ends when, like, everyone's happy and they're having, like, a dance party with the ghosts, and it's a weird, funny, silly, sweet, lovely,
sweet, weird, bizarre.
Yeah, it's not for kids, but it could be. Kids could watch it, but it's really for adults. But it has the heart of, like, a kid's movie.
I think it is a little bit for kids, just depending on my age, maybe six, seven, because.
The brave ones, right? Like, the ones ready for something weird.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing, and I truly believe the one thing I love about horror, and I know, like, horror is not for everybody. Like, scary movies are not for everyone. But things like Goosebumps.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Beetlejuice, Are You Afraid of the Dark? All these weird, bizarre things that we have when we were kids. They teach kids how to be brave.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I like about kid-friendly horror. It teaches kids how to be brave.
Yeah. And I think this movie also teaches kids to be weird, to be different, and to embrace that weirdness.
Yeah, embrace weirdness. You know, like, the main character was a goth girl in the first. You know what I mean? That embrace your weirdness and get crazy. If you...
Winona Ryder is so good in that role. She fits it perfectly. Like, whether it's... Now you can argue whether you think she's a good actor or not, but... And that period of her life, her acting, and it's exactly what the character needed. Right, she's perfect in that role. We'll talk about Beetlejuice later and how well that transitioned. I want to say also for that first movie, we haven't even talked really about the direction of it, because it's Tim Burton really flexing. But his original style that he sets up there, it's all a callback to German Expressionism. John, have you ever seen any of those old 1920 movies, or like Cabinet of Caligari or Metropolis or anything like that?
I've not seen Metropolis. So, no,
Caligari?
I'm not.
It's good stuff, John. I'll send you a list.
Let me tell you, though, I mean, they're on my list. Like, I can tell you the amount of movies that I, like, it would shock you what I haven't seen, and it would shock you what I have seen.
That's fine, man. It goes both ways.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I go all over the place.
Yeah. But I really do have a soft spot for the silent horror movies from the 1920s, the German ones. And Tim Burton, all the weirdness you see in his movies, straight, honestly, like almost one-to-one. He took that 1920 style and he updated it with modern effects and modern technology. And that's what's so cool about Beetlejuice. Even in this new movie, you see, like, some of the set designs, when it gets really weird, all the shapes are twisted and stuff. All the lighting is dramatic. Man, I just love his style. And Danny Elfman with the music. Yeah, yeah.
What are your thoughts on Beetlejuice?
You ready to talk about the new one? So I watched them back to back, okay? Back to back. The only gap in between was, like, a short bathroom break, okay? So we watched the first movie, and the theater, some of us, like, cleared out. We come back. Second movie starts. It starts almost identical to the first one. And I'm a little bit wary because I'm like, well, they're playing it kind of close.
That's a lot of Beetlejuice. That's a lot of Beetlejuice.
I could have kept going. I could have. But anyway, there's a lot that's cool about this new movie. And it's easily Tim Burton's best movie in probably like 20 years or something. Since like those Charlie and the Chocolate Factory days, this is probably the best. Sometimes the highs are high, like really high. Sometimes it really feels like Burton is back, baby. Sometimes it feels like Netflix. Sometimes it feels like a big, like big Netflix movie. Like when there's Jenna Ortega and that boy, and I'm like, I mean, this is cute, but what are we doing? You know what I mean? And like sometimes there's so many storylines. There's the Jenna Ortega storyline, then there's the Monica Bellucci storyline, the bride, I think either of them could be really interesting as their own movies. I wish they dedicated this one to Jenna Ortega's story, then they saved the bride for the third one, and I think that could have been its own great movie. Because that was freaking wasted in this movie. Okay,
I'm so glad you said some of that, because I mostly agree with you. Jenna Ortega is a good actress.
I didn't feel it in this movie.
I did not feel it here. She was in a few scenes, but I was like, what happened? Like, are you just here for the paycheck, I guess? Like, she seemed like she was going through the motions the entire film.
I feel like her character doesn't really have an emotional arc, really. She has like, she learns something about her mom at the end, but that's not emotions.
She seems to be there to get Gen Z in the theater, and that's it. Like, that's all. It's like, well, like, hey, look, we have Jenna Ortega,
and I think it's working, dude. There was a lot of young people in my theater, kids.
Yeah, there was a lot of people there. I think, so the one thing that I will say is that it's very stylish. I love the way it visually looks. I think the production design is so ridiculous and bonkers at times. Like I would be looking in the background at different things and kind of chuckling to myself.
Did you know Danny DeVito was in this?
I knew that. Yeah.
I didn't know that. So when you see him from behind, and I'm like, is that? And then you hear the voice, I'm like, oh, it is? Oh, that was a great.
It's got a great cast. I think the one thing I thought about when I came back home is that there used to be a time before Batman where Michael Keaton was funny.
Oh, you're going way back. Funny. Yeah.
Like, he did a lot of comedies. And the one thing I kept thinking when I was watching this, we need more of that. Because he is so funny in this film.
He's
so
perfect. Funny.
Every single moment in Beetlejuice, when he's on the screen, the movie just comes to life. It becomes funny, charming. Like, it feels like, cause there used to be a Beetlejuice cartoon that I watched when I was younger.
I missed it. I never watched it.
There was, man. There was. It was a Saturday morning cartoon.
Was it?
I was a kid.
Okay.
Who knows? You know, it's like the Ghostbusters cartoon. I'm sure it's not great now, but when I was younger, I was like, "Wow, Ghostbusters!" You know. It reminded me of that, though.
Okay.
It felt like I was watching a Saturday morning cartoon every time he was on there. Every time. I felt like a kid every time he was on there.
I have an interesting comparison because this has the Smallville writers, as I mentioned. Did you ever watch
Smallville? That was like a thing that I never...
Okay. I grew up with it. I've seen every episode, many times.
I know. A bunch of people love it. I know all these people that are diehard fans of it. It was just it's kind of like Lost. Mm-hmm. It is a generational experience that I never got on board.
Okay. Smallville train is past. But anyway, we're way on a tangent. Superman and Lois is better Smallville. But anyway, so I see in every episode of Smallville, the two guys who wrote this movie are the Smallville guys. They're the showrunners. And the worst parts of this movie are Smallville problems. Smallville is a soap opera, and like the way this like cuts between storylines and it's juggling so many storylines, it feels like Smallville. The biggest problem is that Bride, and her entrance is so cool. When she starts the movie, I was like, I know what this movie is. This is going to be awesome. And they never pay that off. It's just, it's not even a funny gag. It's just a waste of space. And Willem Dafoe too. He's so cool. He steals every scene. What is he doing?
First off. You watch yourself now. Okay. Willem Dafoe is a masterpiece.
Yes, of course. But the script. What is it doing with him?
But it doesn't matter. He's amazing. I don't care. He's great. Give him all the worthless roles. Give him everything like that.
Oh, he's so funny in this, though. He's really funny.
But Monica Bellucci is completely wasted in this film. She's introduced, and then the movie just completely just like neglects her for another hour, and then all of a sudden she reappears at the end.
It's pretty bad.
Still, and about your Smallville conversation. Mm-hmm. Every single sequence with Jenna Ortega, it's like a CW romance.
Dude, yeah. It was like some Netflix or a CW to... Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
I like, I like romance. I like rom-coms. And this, I was just like... I mean, it's okay, but what are we doing? This doesn't fit in this movie. Let's do spoilers really quick because I want to make a point. Spoilers?
Oh, yeah. Spoilers! Get out!
If you haven't seen the movie, ghosts will haunt you. Okay.
Yeah.
So Jenna Ortega, her boyfriend, how quickly did you clock that he was a ghost?
Honestly, I didn't. It was my first thought.
I thought, when she's going down in her bike and she hits the tree, she hit it really hard on her head. I thought she was dead. When she goes down in her bike and hits the tree and then there's no scar, I was like, okay, so she's dead and this is a ghost boy and that's why he doesn't have any friends. Then they go into his house later and you never see the parents' faces. That's like, okay, so they're also dead and their faces are scarred. So I was pretty close, in fact. I was pretty close.
You know why I think I didn't catch it, though?
Why?
Because I didn't care.
Because you were sleeping.
Yeah, I didn't care because every moment that she was a part of it, I didn't care. I had no attachment to her. I didn't really feel what she was doing.
Yeah.
I think the angry daughter trope got kind of tired.
And it's much weaker than the first movie. In the first movie, when Winona Ryder does it, bam, it works. In this movie, it's like lifeless because she's just not different or weird enough. I don't know what it
is. No.
And the script isn't there either. What did you think about Catherine O'Hara and Winona Ryder returning?
I think Winona Ryder is a revelation in this movie because there are no, I'm serious.
Okay.
I'm serious. There were two scenes in this film where I was like, chuckling out loud.
What was that?
So funny.
I thought she was the weakest of the returning ones, especially watching it right after the first one. I was like, the first one, she has so much charm. And this one, I didn't feel it. And it's really interesting because in the script, the way she's written, it feels like she's a slightly different character now. And even her mom says, you need to go back to the goth girl you used to be.
Yeah.
You remember that? So I was like, why does she look the same? If she's acting so differently a little bit and she's forgotten who she used to be, why does her hair the same? They should have given her a different haircut, a different style, make her more like a normal person. And then her movie arc is reclaiming the weird girl she used to be.
Yeah, but Tim Burton is not capable of that kind of nuance anymore. I'm just being serious. Yeah. Tim Burton, I mean, like, okay, for example, when you go back and look at Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, the most simplest things would be just over the top. Charlie's house was, like, tilted like a Leaning Tower of Pizza, you know, just like...
Yeah, yeah.
Like, for no reason, it just was, like, crooked. And in the original, it was just a rundown house. You know, like it's more relatable.
Completely. And that's the beauty relatable. Of it. Yeah.
Everything he's not very capable of being understated. Mm-hmm. The only time that I've ever felt Tim Burton kind of, like, hold back is with Big Fish. And I know you haven't seen it.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
Any of his films, that is the one that you gotta watch. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. That's Amy Adams, right?
Is Amy Adams in it? I can't remember.
John, I haven't seen it.
it's been a long time. It's been a long time, but I do remember. I know who's in it. Like, it's got Steve Buscemi.
Okay.
And one of those old man actors. You know, he hasn't been around in a long time. He died a long time ago. But okay. It's good. I'm telling you, it's good.
I believe.
But anyway, sidebar. Non-sequitur. He's not very capable of being understated in his work, mm-hmm. which is both why people like him and why also people like me are kind of like, bro, just tone it out a little bit, you know? But even so, I do think it is the most fun that he's had in a movie.
You can tell. You can really tell. I'm like,
in a long time.
Sometimes, and I want to say too, watching them back to back, the craziest thing was that Michael Keaton was the exact same. Like, it was like this, like you just blinked and suddenly everyone's gotten older, but he's still, and in fact, because he's older now, the wrinkles look even better as Beetlejuice. In the first movie, I'm like, he looks really young. But in this new movie, it's like, it's the same energy, but even crazier a little bit. Like, it's just the same. It's the same Beetlejuice. I don't know how
he has not lost a step at all.
No.
Not at all.
This is the role he was born to play, even more than Batman. This is it.
Like, he's almost better than he was back then, though. Mm-hmm. Like he's been, like, saving all this Beetlejuice energy.
he has a bottle of Beetlejuice. Beetlejuice.
Yeah, waiting for you for 30 years until he can just, like, let it out.
Yeah. I thought Catherine O'Hara was good too. Like, I don't think she really falls, but she doesn't have a lot to do. But I feel like she really makes the most of what she has. I was pretty happy with her character.
She's there, but she does what's required of her, and that's fine. I found it kind of fun what they did with the husband,
mm-hmm.
Because that actor died, right?
You know, no,
Captain O'Hara.
I don't think he's dead, like in real life. Yeah. I think he got canceled for something.
Are we sure about that?
I can check. I'm pretty sure I saw something just saying that.
I can cut right here to you know.
Okay, one second. Then let me Google. What's his name? Jeffrey Jones. That was it. Uh huh. Is an American actor and convicted sex offender. Maybe don't cut this. It's funny. That's his first line on Wikipedia. Jeffrey Duncan Jones, American actor and convicted sex offender. Nope.
Well, then I'm going to follow this up. This is now funnier why they did that to him in the movie.
Trump. He just goes around without a head.
Yeah, straight up just like incredible. Incredible work. Incredible work.
I was surprised that Danny Elfman did the score for this. I didn't think he would come back, but he did, and I thought the score was really good too.
Oh, it doesn't shock me. I mean, like, when has Timber not worked with Danny Elfman though?
I don't know, but also, like, Danny Elfman, I feel like he's fallen off in recent years too. Like, I don't think he's as good as he used to be, but in this movie, in this movie, you know, they really tried to go back to who they used to be. They really tried. For the most part, I think it at least style-wise, I think it worked when they were trying.
They're having fun, and at the same time, you can tell they're not doing a lot. It's minimal and exaggerated all at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if it were Tim Burton, like back in the 90s, I think it would have gone harder than this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It would have been crazier. Like, just going from, like, Batman to Batman Returns, it would be that kind of energy.
Yeah, it would be wild, exaggerated. I think it would have gone...
Maybe too much.
And the one part, probably too much. But I will say the one thing that does frustrate me about it is that, and I thought about this when I got back home too, was that it doesn't feel like there's anything new. It does feel like there's a lot of the same things.
All the good stuff, it was stuff the first movie did. There are some new things. For example, The Bride and The Baby, Willem Dafoe, stuff like that.
They don't go anywhere.
Yeah. They don't go anywhere. They're so cool. That's why I'm saying just save it for the third movie. You don't put your half-baked ideas here because those are good ideas. Save them for the third one. Don't waste them.
I mean, it's like the universe. Like, I've been wanting more universe expanding. Like, the most universe-expanding thing that it does is give us the Soul Train. I was
Yeah, oh, I understand what you mean. Yeah.
I'm like, I don't really need the Soul Train.
It
Like, that
was
was
a
kind of,
funny gag. It was a funny joke that they're all like
yeah.
1970s. Okay.
It's a funny joke, but like that was as far as it went.
Yeah.
But still, I think for the people that want to watch it, that love the first, I think it's a good like it's kind of like that thing that we were talking about this week. It feels like a band that got back together and they're performing again. Like, hey, did you like the show before? Come back and see the show again. We'll play some songs. You
Yeah.
know, we're a
Yeah,
little tired.
I felt I when I finished this, like when I finished the movie, like my TLDR was like, it's fun, but it's a sequel for the sake of a sequel. It's like,
Yeah.
if you wanted a Beetlejuice sequel, here's a sequel. It's not the great sequel you wanted, but it's another Beetlejuice movie. Enjoy. You
Yeah,
know?
pretty much. Yeah.
And I
It's
just
there, it's made for the fans, and I think the fans will like it. I didn't
enough.
love it. I didn't
Yeah,
love
no.
it. It's enough, but it's fine. It's
Yeah,
fine.
it's
It's
not
pretty much.
bad, you know. It's good enough where it'll have a positive Rotten Tomatoes score, right? Because it's more recommend than not recommend. But it's,
Yeah.
I like, I just don't think it lives up to the magic of the first one, even when you see them back to back. One last thing I want to mention, the first movie, I love all the practical effects. There's so much practical magic in that first movie,
Yeah.
and
Yeah.
even when they try to use like computer effects, it looks crappy, but that's part of the charm. And the second movie, even when they're trying to do practical effects, they clean it up with CGI. Or they use CGI to look like practical. And I just wish they tried to re just do it again, just do the practical again. Or even if you're using CGI, recapture that. Because for example, when they're in the Saturn moon, right? In the Saturn moon in the first movie, it's crappy effects. When they're running around, there's an outline around the actors. I wanted to see
Yeah.
the outline again because that is the canon that they've established. In this world, people have an outline.
Well,
And I was like, all right, where's my outline? And they cleaned it. And I'm like, why did you clean it up? It's supposed to look like this. Keep it like this. You know, it's like if Yoda in episode 8, if Yoda was back to being CGI instead of a puppet. No. The canon is that he is a puppet at this age, so he should continue to be a puppet, which he is. So that's how it
I'm very glad they didn't go digital on the worm. Like, it was like
It
the
was
worm,
digital. It was
but it looked
CGI,
fake.
but
It
they
did look
tried to make
fake.
it look
Yeah.
they reverse faked it. But why didn't they just do it practically again?
Well, I mean, I don't know. Do we know that
Oh,
there
you can
was
tell.
no?
Yeah, you can tell it's CGI.
You think so? You think so?
Yeah.
I know for a fact that shark attack at the first was CGI.
Okay, yeah.
Well,
I
that
mean, look,
was,
if there's like a behind
yeah.
the scenes thing, you know, put it in the comments for us, let us know. But
Yeah, I want to know. I'm kind of curious. I'm kind of curious.
I'm pretty sure it was CGI, and then they messed up the frame rate so that it would look stop motiony, you know?
So that might be it. Yeah,
Because
that
stop
could
motion, you
be
know, it's like I think 12 frames per second.
it. But they did make it look like clay. Like, that was pretty cool that they made it look that appearance. But yeah, but movie. I'm probably not gonna watch it again. But
Do you want a
it's
third one?
fun. No. I mean, to be honest, like I said, I was not one of those people that was like, I need Beetlejuice 2. I need
Yeah,
it.
I agree.
Yeah.
Like I love that first movie, but some things are just perfect and you don't mess with. And if they're gonna
Yeah.
do it again, I'm like, okay, but after seeing this, I feel like I'm out. I'm like Beetlejuiced out. You know,
Yeah.
I'm good. I'm good. I don't need
But
I don't need a third one right now.
you also did like 4 hours. I would be Beetlejuice out after that
I
too.
honestly, I felt good. You know, I felt like I could keep going if things were better. It like my stamina is fine. It's just the Smallville guys disappointed me, dude.
No,
Like
I get
really,
you. I
this the
get you.
script was there was like in my head I was like doing the calculus of like how many storylines is this? Who's the main? What is happening? Why jumping? The first movie's so simple. It's so simple. And this movie is just there's like two or three, and just pick one. Commit to it, then save the third one.
I got one more character to
Yes,
bring up. I got
yes,
one
yes,
more
yes.
character. He's a great actor, and I love The Leftovers. I'm not a fan of Justin Theroux in this show.
No. He's
Yeah,
one of the worst parts.
he's not good here. Like,
He's so.
he seems.
I needed. I like. I physically wanted him out. of the movie. Every time I'm like, ah!
It started funny because, like, he says a line of dialogue that, like, made me laugh. Something like text diarrhea. I was like, oh man, we are in for a masterpiece because Justin Theroux used the phrase text diarrhea in the first 5 minutes of this program. You know, and I was like, okay, where are we going with this? And the more it went along, his character got worse and worse, and not even in a manner of him just being unlikable. Mm-hmm. I just, like, the way he played the role felt off. I don't know why.
Yeah.
I think
it goes to the writing. Maybe something about his performance. I don't know. But to me, it just felt like the character was written for what? And I just didn't understand why Winona Ryder was going along with the marriage too. I didn't understand any of that. I didn't like it. I didn't need it. Just delete it.
Yeah, it was strange. Now, the whole line, I was like, the whole story plot could have been like an exercise. Yeah. Completely out of the film. And that's all I got, man.
That's all right. I just wish we had a whole movie of, like, the bride hunting down Beetlejuice, like Terminator style. Like, that's what I thought this was going to be from the beginning. She has the awesome opening shot. You see her walking. I'm like, where is this going? It doesn't go anywhere.
It would have been a much better movie because every time he's on the movie, it's great.
And like, I think it was so genius because in the first movie, it's just like a 10-second reference when he's trying to marry Winona Ryder in the first movie. And he just mentioned, you see a finger with a ring? He throws away the finger and he says, she meant nothing to me. That's it. And they took that little reference and they're like, let's build a whole idea around the Bride of Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
Okay, and then give it to me. Even recently, we were even talking about the Bride of Frankenstein and how much I love that movie, right? It's a great idea. You have one great character and then give him an evil bride. Let's go.
I do love the entire flashback where he dies.
Yeah.
Where you see how he dies. And it's all in. Is it Spanish?
Italian. It's a throwback to, like, Mario Bava movies.
Yeah, it's all in Italian. And it's so funny. It's so, so great.
There's some real high highs in this movie. Like, I don't want to just, like, delete it, erase the movie. Because there's some stuff here, like, Beetlejuice Baby. I love it. It's so freaking weird and nasty. I'm like, all right, I like that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Anytime Michael Keaton's there, it's just on fire. And Willem Dafoe. I'm sorry, man. I love Willem Dafoe in this film.
Yeah, no, I like him. I like him. I'm just, the script, I just don't know what the, why? Dude, there was 36 years and you could have come up with anything. Yeah, do it right. And I just, they were this close to making an amazing movie. This close to making it amazing.
Because, by God, they wanted Willem Dafoe in the movie.
And you know what's funny? They also have Bern Gorman as the priest. Do you remember him?
Yeah.
I'm watching this movie. I've never seen them, like, in the same movie together. And I was like, he looks kind of like he could be a Willem Dafoe, like, alternate brother or something. There's something about their faces. And I'm like, that's an idea. Somebody should do something with that idea.
It's the jaw.
It's the jaw, the weird face. He's like the malformed clone of Willem Dafoe or something. Like, make a movie based on that.
I will say the other part that I was like, this is very odd. Mm-hmm. When they're having the funeral, mm-hmm. and the choice of song is Don Mr. Tellyman, Telly Me Banana.
Yeah.
Well,
you know why they picked that song, right?
I know why. I understand it from the first.
Okay.
Why is a choir singing it?
Because they want it to be, like, quirky and weird.
That's what I'm saying, man. There's no subtlety with Burton at all.
I really feel like this needed to be tightened up in the edit. There is a great movie here. There is so much here that could have been great if they just figured out what to cut, what to keep. Even, like, there's whole scenes that I just think dragged, and the whole scenes could have been just a little bit tighter, I think. It was close.
I'm not even...
Yeah, it's not bad, but it could have been great. Alas. Okay. All right, guys. Thank you for watching us once again. Lose our minds. If you like this review, be sure to like and subscribe. Get us to 1,000. Leave a comment below. We read every comment. Are you interested in Beetlejuice? What are your feelings about the first? Please let us know, because we love to talk about these movies, and we'd love to really hear what you guys think. I'm Vin. You can find me on Twitter at VinWritesWords.
I'm John. You can find me at John Movie Watch. And we need 1,000 subscribers. Get us to 1,000 subscribers.
Yes. And be sure to follow thecosmiccircus.com on Twitter at MyCosmicCircus, where you can find more reviews, articles, editorials, and opinions like the one you just watched. Our friend James just published his written review, I think on Thursday, in fact. So go check it out. Go check out what he says too. Thanks, guys. See you next time. Bye.
Bye.